Well, underneath the market calm is a growing concern that the repo market, the sort of plumbing of the financial system, has not been fixed by the Fed's temporary repo facility, and that going into year end, we will see a lot more tumult. Joining us here in our Interactive Broker Studios, David Kotak. He's chairman and chief investment officer at Cumberland Advisors. And I was struck by this note that Zoltan Pozsar of Credit Suisse put out, where he was saying he thinks that people are underpricing the risk of a severe liquidity shortage that ends up driving the Fed to have to buy coupon treasuries in another QE4 type move.
Well, I think he's right. Zoltan does marvelous work. Number one, he may not be known to all listeners, but he is a highly skilled technical. He has huge capacity to understand the flows worldwide in this particular front-end high-grade market, number one. Number two, this is a very complex issue. So maybe we can simplify the issue and think of it in the following way. We're used to banking systems, bank deposits, bank reserves, banks making loans. That's how we think about the banks. There's a whole parallel system of liquidity management, and it's in repo or reverse repo, and it's an alternate form of cash management or financing or borrowing. And that's outside the bank channel, but it's linked to the bank channel. So it's intricate. Now we got a set of rules that govern the banks, and they are creating a constraint for the banks to take all this excess liquidity and use it in the repo market. And we saw that in September because the repo market had a problem. It had a hiccup. So an interest rate on a riskless overnight security went to 10% from 2.25%. Think about that. It's not supposed to happen. Why didn't it happen? Why didn't the banks intervene? And we now have some understanding of why, but we haven't fixed the why.
All right. So without getting into the nitty gritty, I highly recommend that you seek out this Credit Suisse Zoltan Pozsar note. It's fantastic. There's a great story on the Bloomberg about it as well. I'm wondering what the consequence is as an investor in risk assets heading into year end. Do you think that people are not prepared for a sell-off in risk assets that could ensue from this type of disruption?
I don't know how prepared people are, Lisa. What I do know is in the technical money management analytical community, there's a lot of conversation about it. In the general press, in the general investment community, it's ignored because we're being inundated with impeachment and trade war and all the headlines. So you have two discussions going on at once. The narrow one is the unknown. It has risk of a shock. What do you do if you have a fail? You have a collateral that doesn't deliver. You overstep some limit, some threshold, and then you have a default. You have a shock. And therein lies a risk if the system fails. And the question then is, how much will the central banks intervene in advance, prospectively, to avoid that? They'll intervene at once after the fact. But what do they do to avoid the shock? And how well, by the way, are we going to learn from this Fed meeting? Are they prepared for it? What are they going to say?
So what do we know about, I guess our listeners are probably saying, I'm just trying to frame the risk here. Is this a December 2019 kind of risk to the financial markets? Or is this kind of what we saw in September of this year, which was it's kind of a short-term thing, and the Fed kind of calmed markets, and I'm not going to worry about it too much.
I think market agents who are pricing securities are looking at this and say, at worst, it'll be a repeat of September, Paul. 1 or 2 days, everybody will get excited, and then we'll go on to something else. And probably that's accurate. The Fed was caught flat-footed in September. They've been warned. Now, if we get a spike in repo again, way above what market rate should be, and that's only a few basis points movement, what would it say? It says the Fed failed. They had warning, they had a shock, and they didn't fix the problem. That would be more serious, in my opinion.
All right, let's shift gears a little bit to the 2020 outlooks. Let's pass over the December potential turmoil or any other disruption. I'm wondering, you actually, congratulations, got it totally right, said that you went all in on markets. The market rallied quite a bit. Where are you now in terms of the cautious versus risk on spectrum heading into 2020?
We raised some cash in the quantitative strategies. We're back in cash in the regular managed ETF accounts. We have a cash reserve. And in the fixed income accounts, we have a barbell. And we are happy with some of the short end because we think we're going to be able to deploy it at higher interest rates. You had a little note out or tweet on how tight the triple B spread
geek.
Was.
100%. I own it.
Okay. And it went everywhere. So you were viral with a triple B. So you think about...
Viral in quotes.
In quotes.
Unless you've been sick.
Yeah. But we don't want anybody sick. So you think about what your note said. What it said is we've got such a flood of liquidity worldwide, these spreads are not reflecting credit risk. Someday, sometime before the year 2035, there's going to be credit risk repriced in the market, and we want to be in a place to take advantage of it.
So do you have any kind of recession outlook in your 2020, 2021 kind of outlook here? We're starting to get some signs maybe that some stabilization in some of the European economies, but I'm just not sure if it's a green shoot or not.
Yeah, well, we are in a no recession, slow growth camp. We've been there for a while, and there's no reason to change that. We think that there are enough shoots, whether you want to call them green or something else, to see rising labor income taking away from return on capital in the U.S. You saw a little in the, you did a deep dive in the productivity numbers. They reveal it. You look at the employment report. There are a number of signs that this labor market is finally tightening enough to begin to get upward costs of labor and labor costs. Long time coming. But if it's coming, that means capital, profits, get the pressures.
All right. So, David, real quick here, 30 seconds, and then we'll let you go. What's going to be the best performing asset class in 2020?
I like the U.S. healthcare sector. Mm. It's been terrific.
Policy risk aside.
Policy risk aside, insulated from the trade war, and the sleeper might be in the energy patch, which is so beaten down and killed that it's got no room to go down anymore. It's on the floor.
Two value plays. David Kotak, thank you so much for joining us. David's chairman and chief investment officer of Cumberland Advisors, coming all the way up from Sarasota, Florida, going against the migration that happens this time of year. But he joins us here in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio, and we appreciate that.